What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had a great time gaming since the last time you listened. And if you're new to the table, welcome. We may not be an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. We are, of course, three DMs who create stories and sessions based on randomized theme and scenario tables determined by 2D20s. It's a great way to get our, and hopefully your, creative juices flowing, as well as flexing, strengthening those DM muscles that you have. With that, let's introduce ourselves. I am Sam, or DM Mambo, here as your introduction captain. To the left of my screen I have...
I am David. I'm going to be rolling for our themes today.
Dormi Amagato, I'm on scenario, and I am Malcolm. Hi. I wanted to do something different for once there.
Welcome, guys. Welcome back. It's been a while for us, breaking that fourth wall we love to do oh so much. I have a question of the week just to get things rolling here.
What do you got?
For our listeners, before we were recording, we were talking a little bit about a little HP, a little Harry Potter there. Kind of talking about the new game going on and such. Got me thinking, because we all realized that we were Hufflepuffs here. What would your wand look like? And what, if you could choose the wood and the materials made out, would make out your wand, what would it be? What would it look like? Have any thoughts on it? I'm curious to see what kind of wood you guys be handling.
Some interesting phrasing there.
I don't know what you mean, Malcolm. Please elaborate.
No, I don't think I will. But what I will say is that I've always pictured it being very twisted, not like in an evil way, but like in a very like tree branch way. I guess it's how people draw evil trees. So
natural, right?
Yeah. So like it's a very, I don't know if it's like an oak. I don't know what trees are or which trees make, which trees look like what, but you know, like picture a typical like kid drawing scary tree. Yeah. Like break off a branch of that. That kind of angling, that's what I'd want for my wand. Otherwise, in a perfect world, I would, if I were an actual wizard, I would just walk around with like a fake magician's wand, because I think that would be very funny. Nobody would suspect that I would actually do magic with that wand, so it's perfect. But if I had to abide by HP rules, then I would totally go with that. What about David? What are you thinking?
Well, I think my favorite like combination... I've read about the wands and like what all the pieces mean. I really like the idea of a phoenix feather wand, and probably in black walnut. I really like there's a prop for Sirius Black's wand from the movies, and it's very like angular and kind of square. It has like the kind of square designs in it, and I think that would fit me as well.
Sam, you're...
I would love a wand made out of purple heart. I think that would be incredible with like white birch, like intertwined kind of sort of esque the twist soft serve, you know, and kind of have that natural bark of the white birch in there, but fused with the purple of the purple heart. I think that'd be really cool. I don't know how legitimate that could be in there. I don't really have like a size, but I think I can't remember. I have to look back at Pottermore on what my whole wand was, but I knew it was like a rarer one, which was cool. I think it might have had Phoenix feathered it. I can't remember at this point in time. I should have looked up, but I'm an amateur right now, so I apologize. But I just think it'd be really cool to have like a purple heart wand, maybe with like silver trim on it. I know some of them have jewels and such, you know, encrusted in on them, and maybe a silver handle with some spirals on it would be cool. I would like it somewhere etched, a Roman numeral V somewhere on there. That would be fun for me. And yeah, I would totally be bringing a cat as well to Hogwarts. If I so was inclined on receiving a letter, I would choose a cat over a frog, or sorry, a toad or bat. That would be my pet of choice.
Oh, we get to pick a pet. Hang on a second.
Yeah, you get to choose a toad, bat, or is it toad, owl, bat, cat? Is that the four choices? Or does everyone have an owl for male?
I think everyone has an owl for male. I don't remember the lore of Harry Potter.
I would totally do a barn owl for my owl and then just a cat for a cat. Probably a rag doll, because that's what I have right now. Or maybe a Scottish Fold would be fun.
I think maybe, well, if I get the bit, probably a toad, even though I would love to walk around with a large bat and be like, the Batman! But no, I would just do...
Have a fox bat?
I'd probably just do a toad. I think those are pretty cool, but they would also probably freak people out. I don't know. It's hard. Well, David, since we have this...
Man, could you imagine if someone came in with a bumblebee bat? Like, some guy who's 7 foot tall with a bumblebee bat? That would be hysterical.
I also would go with it. I don't know what kind of, like, range of amphibian you can have, but I know I would spend a lot of time by the lake, and having an amphibian... something that can go in and out of the water, just to make sure I'm not, like, being murdered on the lakefront, would be good.
That sounds about smart. I mean, as we're on this Harry Potter trend, I mean, if you guys know your Patronus, what it is, we might as well spill the beans. Mine's a hyena. I remember mine's a hyena.
Mine is a swallow, according to Pottermore.
Gone from my mind. I haven't checked Pottermore in years.
I just remember mine because everyone was, my one friend said, I have a white stallion. I have a dolphin. I'm a golden retriever. And then I took it and it came up a hyena and I was, you know.
You laughed and you laughed. Yeah, I can't remember quite what mine would be. I guess maybe, I guess if I got to pick mine, though, I know it's not how that works, but if I got to pick mine, it'd be an armadillo so that we can roll.
Let's do it.
Well, it is time for our two lovely hosts to be rolling on the tables today. What that means, folks, for you is, will you hang in tight there listening at the edge of your car seats or wherever you are listening to this lovely podcast. Our two hosts there, David and Malcolm, will be rolling two lovely D20s on their respective tables. David, you have the theme. Malcolm, you've got the scenario. And what they roll, I'll come up with, is what our episode is going to be about. So, yeehaw, hanging tight there while these bad boys roll their bad boys.
It's funny that you say yeehaw, because I rolled an 18, which is high noon standoff.
And I rolled a 13 for our theme, which is Ragnarok.
Interesting. Hey, return to Ragnarok, you guys. We all love it. A standoff at Ragnarok.
I like to picture immediately that there's like a... They do this all the time with different kinds of themes in like books and movies. So this, we're taking place in like a Western, but all of like the gods of Norse mythology are for some reason trapped in a Western town.
I actually really like that. You got Odin as the sheriff. You got Loki riding his son or daughter, I can't remember, whichever is the horse. I believe it's a son. I can't remember any of the names.
I thought it was the daughter because that was one of the big things in like the MCU. Well, you know, he has a lot of children, actually, now that I remember properly, so I don't know.
Let's have a standoff between Roman mythology and, or D&D mythology, so Tiamat and all of those folks. My whole brain, my whole DM brain containing all my D&D knowledge has just gone blank. And I cannot for the life of me remember any other god besides Tiamat right now. Asmodeus is there. And we have now Norse first D&D.
Been there, done that with just the original D&D gods. I made my own Ragnarok because I was, you know... a first-time DM, and when you're a first-time DM, what do? You kill the gods.
Oh, I did not do that, but duly noted. I apologize for messing that up. I will do better next time.
It's okay. You'll get around to it.
I'll get there one day.
You're not done yet. So, one of the big things, I have a list of the gods if you want me to pull them up, because, yeah, I just have that on hand randomly.
I'm glad you got it up, because I could have, but going to Google... it was going to take a lot out of me.
It's okay. I have my old notes. So it might say that a bunch of gods that are dead that aren't, but you know, that's fine.
I love the idea. We talked about Loki's children. It would be fun if, like, the gang, because every Western has, like, a gang of bad guys. It'd be interesting if it was Loki and his children as the gang that's, like, pestering this town.
Yes, 100%. Because then you got the snake as with a cowboy hat. Because who doesn't like a snake with a cowboy hat? I would love that as Loki and the gang. Or Loki and his Sundance kids.
The children of Loki.
Now, controversial statement. I don't think we need the D&D gods for this. I'm really liking just the country vibe with just the classic Norse here.
So we got Ragnarok Ridge. That's where we're located.
It's a mining town.
Beautiful. Beautifully named.
Every NPC has the last name Johnson.
That one went over my head.
And if you get that reference, you're a good one.
I'm a bad one.
I hope I'm getting that reference right. Is that Blazing Saddles, yes. Right?
Oh, I have no idea. God, I haven't watched Blazing Saddles in forever.
Love Blade. One of my favorite movies. Top 10.
No question, but I haven't watched in a long time.
Well, Malcolm, guess what you're doing this weekend?
No! I only have so little time.
That is a command from yours truly. I'm going to roll a perception. Look at that. I got a 17.
I can roll the contest. It's not good enough. It's a 15. But yeah, I like the idea of having all the gods, putting them in different environments that kind of fit them. So you can do this kind of thing where you're like, oh, these people are just in this like kind of quaint town. You can even pull an American gods and have it be like, either they know, and depending on how you want it to be, they either know or they don't know that they are the god of whatever they are. So it can be like they are trapped here or they've been placed here. This could be the fallout from Ragnarok. This can be after Ragnarok to be like, what happened to them? It's like, well, then they just became people in a random town and they have all the powers and stuff, but they couldn't solve their things. So they got trapped in the Old West.
I really like that.
It's the end of the universe. It doesn't have to make sense. Ask Doctor Who.
I like that it could be like a way to prevent Ragnarok. Because Ragnarok is like the battle of the gods that kind of destroys the Earth. So what if someone stopped it by taking away or altering the memories of all of these Norse deities and like shoving them in a town off to the side so that the world doesn't end?
What prevents our players from then going, oh, I'm going to leave this alone. We don't want to interact with Ragnarok Ridge.
Well, they wake up there.
Ooh.
Right? So we have them waking up in Ragnarok Ridge. Or they you have them on a train.
And it crashes.
Something like that. Yeah, and it stops and the train tracks stop at Ragnarok Ridge. And they haven't been able to complete the tracks through Ragnarok Ridge because they're trying to convince the local governor to give them a certification to complete the railroad through Ragnarok Ridge. And so the whole point of the party is to go to the town and clear it out and convince people to move and leave.
Hear me out. Okay, so we got Loki and his band of outlaws being his children. Loki's also a child of Odin in a lot of versions. So we can have it be that he is like ingratiated to the governor, who would be Odin. But he's also a criminal who robs the train. So he can take like your quest item or like whatever you have. And you're like, we gotta get that guy. And then you stop in Ragnarok Ridge. And you're like, oh, no.
Loki is the right-hand man to the governor. And it's this whole scheme to clear out Ragnarok Ridge. He hires the Venturers to go there and basically maraud the place until they leave. Or Loki says, you know, hey, go here and get rid of the people. There's dangerous bandits around there. And he rattles off a couple names, which the god knows is his kids. Loki knows is his kids, but we, the players, don't. You know, change them to a little southerly, something like that. And he's like, go there, you know, convince these people to leave for a better town for safety and such, and not knowing that they're trapped there. Or maybe they're not even trapped there. They just settled there, you know, as a safety measure. And you have everyone is Johnson. So you have all the gods, but something Johnson. So like Thor Johnson, you know, keep it really inbred because we're in the West. And so old timey West, I should say. That's the joke here. The players have to convince everyone to leave. Or Loki is just going to blow the place up. But he's, you know, working with the governor to get the right clearance to do so. So you're kind of on a pressed time. And at some point along the way, the adventurers realize the plan and now side with the town to fight Loki and his gang of marauding children. Also sing some old show tunes while you're at it. Go to an old-fashioned saloon/brothel. Have an old lady drop off some pies to the local sheriff.
I want to throw out Well, we can something we could do with another character. We talked about the train being kind of what connects Ragnarok Ridge to the rest of the world. I love the idea of the main train conductor that runs this being George Gander. And he basically never leaves the caboose of this train that is just surprisingly long and snakes its way across the desert landscapes. And this would be Jormungandr. And so you could have, like, just kind of finding places to put things that are, like, close to what they were back before, because Jormungandr was the world serpent. It's this long snake thing. And so having him be not just the conductor of the train, but actually the train itself once he starts to, like, figure out what he is.
That could be good. I like the idea of there being... So, okay, I'm going to look up the events of Ragnarok in a second, but I'm pretty sure World Snake starts it after killing, like... No, somebody... Who starts this?
I know Thor is part of it.
Thor is part of it. Thor needs to be, like, the sheriff...
And the Hulk.
No, wait a minute. Thor... Thor needs to be, like, the sheriff, because then if you have Thor Johnson, sheriff, and so we have Loki be, like, a criminal, who also is, like, a marshal, and then we have, of course, the overall governor being Odin, who's like, I see everything, and you're like, I don't trust you, Odin, for a second. So, the part of why I was wondering is also because if the World Snake brings about the... brings about Ragnarok, what we could do is just have all the dynamite or whatever TNT be on the train. So that leads to the explosion that would kill all the gods that Loki sets up.
Yeah, it's on the snake train.
So you have to eventually stop a train, classic Old West bit. You have to get all the stuff out. You got to beat some outlaws up. You got to get the side of the town.
You got the train chase with the outlaws on the side.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here that I think we can really use.
What I really like is that it lets DMs choose if they want to run what kind of adventures or types of encounters they can have on here. So you can have the fight on the train. You can have the fight on top of the train. You can have the fight on the side of the train as, you know, Loki's bandits come running in to, quote unquote, steal something off the train, which happens to be maybe it's them planting the dynamite on the train. And we think, like, you know, as they come on and we fight them off, really, they have one person drop it at the end of the train, so when it pulls into the station, everything can go kaboom.
I have an idea. It negates nothing. Don't worry. Heimdall. Because we need something else to happen as to, like, who kind of stopped all of this, right? Like, what happened, who stopped, whatever. I propose Heimdall stopped it. He, like, brought everybody here to this other, like, place, set up this, like, kind of fake thing, but now is either, like, beat up or stuck somewhere, either by Loki in the game. Somebody wanted this to not happen. So we gotta go rescue and get Heimdall, because he can bring you out of there as well, out of the Old West. So you can make the Old West in either a different existence, or you can just make it like, oh no, you walk across the city and now you come across the Old West, depending on what your setting is. But yeah, this idea is half-baked. Feel free to take it to conclusion, anybody.
We'll keep this one in the oven for 350 for the rest of this episode until it's ready to be taken out. I'm just doing a little research on it now as well. We got two sides. We got the Azir and the Vanir. Did I get that right?
I have no idea.
Are people going to come and attack me for this? Never mind. This is still the series that Malcolm was talking about, and they made a wiki for it, and it's not what I wanted.
The timeline, I guess, of Ragnarok is there's this incredibly long winter that allows a lot of, like, the evil characters of Norse mythology to break free from whatever prisons and whatnot that they were locked away in. So, like, Loki's sons, Jormungandr and Fenrir, both go out and they start damaging whatever they can, and they're causing natural disasters with this, too. There's a ship that's led by a bunch of... that has some giants on it that break free. And basically, all of this bad stuff starts happening. Loki gets free, and he brings a bunch of dead from Helheim. The sky opens, and Surtur, the fire giant, comes out. And basically, all of these forces invade Midgard, Earth, at the same time. And everyone kills everyone else. Basically, to the point where it's this huge fight between everybody. And two people usually live in the end. And they basically restart humanity.
Good for them, you know? Good for them that they get to win. Let them have one. I'm reading up on the gods to be a little bit, you know, quicker in a little second. But one of the things that I now suggest is instead of Heimdall, because I do still want some. It says here that Frigg, which apparently is the name, not Frigga, like I thought for years. But Frigg was betrayed by Loki. So would be pretty cool if she's the one actually who was like, oh, Ragnarok's about to, and it's like, surprise. And she was like, oh, last thing I'm going to do, everybody's in the Old West now. Nobody's going to remember their gods, blah, blah, blah. And so you can have to, like, find her, and you can even have it be that the, like, the governor, Odin, goes like, oh, my wife is missing. If only I could find her, she would know how to settle this, or, like, whatever. And you're like, that's a weird thing. But then, you know, go about the business and, like, stopping other stuff. It's another possible entry point.
That's really good. I like the idea of running this in Call of Cthulhu. You could basically have your players board a train somewhere, and during the long ride in the middle of the night, they fall asleep. And when they wake up, they're in this new terrain, and the train just keeps going until it stops at Ragnarok Ridge. And so your investigators get out and are trying to figure out what happened to them. And slowly, the bits of reality that these gods don't know is happening around them. You can be standing on the train tracks and you see the train coming. And for a second, when you look at it just the right way, it's a giant serpent barreling down this path toward you. And then that goes away and it's a train again. And you're like, what the fuck was that?
I like that a lot. That would be very interesting because, as I guess in that case, a game master, you don't even have to tell your players what's going on. You could even change the name to like T. Johnson, you know? You end up with T. Johnson or other people. There's a wolf that attacks a god and they slay each other. So you can see this guy walking a dog down the road and the dog turns around and bites him on the hand. And they're like, oh, that dog's not trained. And then later on, when everything gets revealed, you can see that that is not actually a dog. That's a wolf. That's a huge ass wolf. And that's a mighty god that they just, you know, and you just say, like, that's another T. Johnson.
Well, what you could do with that is also you can do the classic thing of, you're in the Old West, so partner, brother, like, all those different kind of phrases get thrown about to the point where you don't really need to use names, and everybody's just kind of like, oh, who, and you can have people go, who is that? I'm like, oh, that guy, that's just Johnson over there. And you're like, okay, and then that just kind of repeats around, and you're like, does everyone just know who each other are? And I'm like, yeah, we don't treat them with respect, last names only. City of Mist is good potential way to play this, because it's another one that really uses that kind of aspect of there is something underneath the base, though that would make this a much more chaotic campaign, undoubtedly, because your characters would also be from there, and that would be, or from somewhere, that would be interesting but chaotic. And I want to keep this one a bit more grounded's the wrong word, but simple also feels bad, but that kind of feeling. Straightforward, that's it, that'll do it. Yeah, I like the idea of Call of Cthulhu. I just wanted to throw that out there also.
Yeah, I mean, City of Mist is a great explanation of, like, how these things, how they're, like, depowered. So you could have these characters who have kind of the aspects of the gods, not really knowing that they're the gods themselves. So they have, like, minor control over the powers that they should have full control over. And it's their kind of, their memory resets every so often. And so this town may have been here for centuries, but they don't really know what's going on.
We could all, again, having Freya out of the picture, we could always have her pull a Thor, the Marvel movie, one, and have her basically just go, okay, no, you guys are not worthy of your powers right now. Nobody's doing the right thing. I'm banishing us all away. I'm blanking out my own mind. There is a certain D&D campaign that I won't spoil, but does something very similar, where it's the idea of, like, you know what? We can't handle this, so I'm wiping everybody. And it's like, that's maybe not the best idea if you got all these powers, but it's like, nobody needs to know, and we're going to just live our lives, and it'll be fine. So in that way, also, you can write your own little Ragnarok fan fiction. Look at you. Now Thor and Loki can get along. It's what everybody wanted. Aw. So you get to have those moments where you get to put whoever, wherever, standing army of Valkyries, all that good stuff. You get to choose how you want these characters to interact, because they don't have to interact how they're quote-unquote supposed to, because they don't have memory of it. They can have, like, a general vibe, but not full memory, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and if you want to continue this with D&D, I think there's Valkyrie stats as well. I know that there are, you can summon them as a cleric, I'm pretty sure. So you can keep this very D&D, and you can add in, you know, werewolves or even a dragon flying over, and even what if, like, the dragon has a cowboy hat on type thing. And so, you know, this is a mighty dragon of Norse mythology, you know, bring Skyrim in too, why not? You know, bring all your Ragnarokian strings together here. And so you can have all of those fun things, but you just give, you know, Norse mythology just a little bit of a Western twist. And so you can bring it in all together, and you can pull these little, you know, practice your Southern accent, your Western accent there.
I'm out of fine myself.
This is like a great way to bring those together and have a lot of fun. This feels like a very much a fun session to have with your players. And I would pull this off as maybe a segue and just a plug-in to your campaign. And so, you know, if they don't get on a train, maybe it's a new invention and the governor or whoever is running your city asks them to go scout up some land, give them a map. They get on horseback, they ride out to the west, and they look for this area, and they stumble upon what's supposed to be a clear spot to lay down tracks is actually Ragnarok Ridge. It's a town full of people. But you can't go around Ragnarok Ridge because it's full of quicksand and maybe purple worms. So you can't go around. You have to go through this town. And when you start questioning people, you know, you start realizing, if your players roll a history check or whatever, you say, oh, you know, you start describing Thor, blonde hair, very muscular, the blacksmith, you know, works really well with a hammer, you know, all of those things that are like Thor, you know, and your players can start putting those pieces together. And all of a sudden they realize this is a town full of freaking gods that, like Malcolm said, have lost their memory.
Gods and monsters and all these terrible things that will end the world if they know who they are.
And as soon as they reclaim their memory, they're going to start fighting each other again. And you have to get them to move out of this town so you can build this railroad track. Or the governor is going to send assassins after you type thing, you know. And I like the idea that it's Odin and Loki who are trying to get people to remember so they can, you know, start the fight again.
I like that a lot. Yeah, that could be really good. I thought of the stupid joke that my friend makes all the time because he watched Aladdin 3. But you gotta have a scene where you're just... because they don't remember even their names, right? So you have, like, you see the blacksmith working real hard, smacking that hammer, and they go, what's your name? And he goes, oh, I'm Thor. And they're like, you're Thor? And he goes, well, it hurts.
And then you're like, nah, name Johnson. T. Johnson. And up, and you look above him on his building, and it says T. Johnson's Blacksmith, or Smithery, or whatever their blacksmith is called. You look over, and they all have, like, their first initial next to some sort of job they have, you know.
I love it. One more thing, though. You mentioned before, and I would be remiss to my, I don't know, is it 3-4 horror fans who listen to this? If I did not say, there are purple worms outside the town in the quicksand. Yes, you can do a Tremors mini-adventure before you go into Ragnarok. Of course you can. You have to have a plan. Watch the kill counts that Zoran did on the Dead Meat channel. That's a free plug for Dead Meat because I like them. And that, yeah, do that. And you will have all the things you need for Tremors. Anyway, that's not the episode. That's just a fun thing we threw in. Mm-hmm. Have fun with the bonus. Back to Ragnarok.
Yeah, so I think this is nice because it gives our DM some characters to play along with. You have Thor, you have Loki, you have Graham. Is it Tyr? T-Y-R?
Tyr.
Tyr? Never know what that pesky Y is going to sound like.
He is the blacksmith, of course.
There you go. You can even have the space dwarf, Tywin Lannister, Tyrion Lannister. Peter Dinklage in there, which would be really funny if people catch that. You can even pull in Hulk if you really want to, depending on what Ragnarok you're going with. It's fun because there's so many different Ragnaroks you can pull from that your players won't actually know what the heck is going to happen when they remember their, you know, they know that the world's going to end if they remember their names, but they don't know who shouldn't know who and what to have. So it's a nice little murder mystery kind of theme going on as well.
I know you keep saying the Hulk joke as a joke, but I kind of like the idea of another group of adventurers or people who don't belong there, but ended up there while looking to, like, solve the problem, and then they forgot who they were. So you could have, like, some dude who's like, I just get angry a lot. I don't know what it is. And it's like...
Bulk?
Yeah.
His name's Bulk.
He's like, I need to bulk up some. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't have enough muscle mass.
You have, like, an Earth Genasi or which Goliath barbarian named Bulk in there, and he's like, yeah, I can't remember my... they just call me Bulk around here.
You could even just call him Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce.
Bruce would be good. You could have, you know, the Johnny Bravo Thor with also Marvel Thor and then, you know, Valhalla Thor.
So now we're getting into more American Gods territory where their rule was, if you believe in it, it exists. So they had like a ton of different types of the same character, which was a really interesting idea. Because then you could just be like, oh yeah, it's not even a multiverse thing. It's just you believe in it, so it exists out there. Which is, again, very fitting for like a City of the Mist. There's a lot of ideas here. We're going to try to keep the streamlined. But just throwing that off as a side tangent. I like where this is going. We should talk about, so we have some characters. You guys can look up more Norse mythology than we can. We only have about an hour to record this thing.
You could definitely have, you know, a goblin or a gnoll attack the village and you save them, which then can spur something else happening. It could be Loki's people who set that up to attack. You can use any beast, honestly. Just gnolls and goblins pop up depending on what level your adventurers are. You know, you can scale for them. But then, you know, that's what brings them in. Maybe they're looking for a new sheriff, so one of the players becomes a sheriff. Or maybe it could be that it's a misidentification where the town has asked the governor for a new sheriff, and so the governor has sent your party and elected one of you guys to be the sheriff, and so, you know, the town has a celebration accepting you in, and then you realize that weird things are going on. You know, you have a snake problem, and so now your party has to deal with a snake problem. You have gnolls attacking out of nowhere. You could, depending on, again, how level they are, you could have a dragon that could be close, that could sort of resemble Surt or a fire giant who comes and attacks. I can't remember all of Loki's kids, but, you know, you can make a band of bandits, you know, come and attack. And they could all be with Loki. And that's the thing is, as you defeat them, your players will slowly catch on what's happening. And once they realize what's happening, then they have to now choose, are they going to let this town live in peace and ignorance, or are they going to possibly start the end of the world?
Yeah, boring campaign anyway. End of the world!
you could even throw in an option at the end where it's like, you have all this dynamite. There's like valleys into this town. Will you save the world by blowing the roads? Condemn them to just live there.
Ooh.
Yeah, blow up the railroad tracks, tell them it's uninhabitable. They have to choose a different way to go around.
I think blowing up the railroad tracks or blowing up the train in general is a cool idea because, again, World Snake kick off Ragnarok. No World Snake, no Ragnarok. So that's ultimately what it comes down to. I mean, you could do it a different way, but they'd have to figure that out, and that's breaking prophecy, which I don't really know how Norse handles that, but I don't think that happens very often. So you can have it be that it's like, all right, we blew up the train or whatever. Now you have a bunch of angry, essentially gods going like, why'd you blow up our train, bro? And you have to figure out a way out of that town because now there's no train.
I love the idea of the blacksmith. What's his name?
Tyr.
Just they walking into his blacksmith shop and he's forging incredible weapons. Giant great axes. Swords as bright as the sun, and he's just picking up these massive weapons, putting them on the wall, and he's like, ain't nobody ever buying my stuff. And you go and look at it and you appraise it, and it's like a god tier level
beautiful, powerful equipment.
And he's like, oh, this little thing? I use this to chop down some wood, start a fire.
I would love for it to be like, last thing I sold was that blacksmith, that stupid hammer. He won't come back for nothing.
Why is it always thunder and lightning around here?
That'd be fun.
Or he just makes like horseshoes and nails and is incredibly depressed.
Yeah.
This is what I'm good at, and I feel like I get a little joy, but I'm missing something.
I'm supposed to do more.
That would be cool, because what you could do as a DM is put in a notebook with his like original designs for weapons and everything like that. And if your players find it, they could give it to him, be like, hey, can you make something out of here, maybe?
Ooh, yeah.
And that could be a side reward for them, where they get to choose from the journal one of the designs to get as a party. So, like, I'd give him one weapon, and whoever finds it, you know, give it to...
And that also brings them closer to remembering who they are.
Yes.
So you have this fun balance of, like, trying to get things from these gods while also trying to not let them know that, hey, you're going to end the world if you remember these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you could, like, say one person remembers. Maybe Tyr does remember who he is. Now you either have to kill him or convince him to stay quiet. Because as soon as he tells one person, they're going to tell another person. And then it spirals out. And look with that. The train starts pulling in because the conductor realizes, oh, I'm actually the snake. And it's my job to pull into town here. That could be wild. Or maybe it's the train leaving. And the train leaving the station is the giant snake realizing it's now going to start eating the world.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That makes a lot of sense.
That's good. Then you have, if it does escape, then you have a whole scenario of chasing down this train that gets longer and longer and longer and more powerful as it consumes city after city it runs through, you know? You have a giant metal magic snake train chomping away things.
Food train.
As an option. Guy Fieri is running this.
No. There's a...
The Norse god, Guy Fieri.
I saved a long time ago because I had a plan for it for one of my campaigns that we were going to do a big train chase. It didn't end up happening, but I specifically marked my brother and me had an episode where they talked about food train, which was the future of food where it doesn't stop, but it has hot food on it that you have to jump on safely and somehow gets the food. Crazy. But anyway, food train. But also the idea of it was around the idea of like bullet trains and stuff, and that's kind of what I'm picturing the world snake as it, like, it might look like a traditional old west train, but as it moves it's gonna keep gaining speed faster and faster until the point it kind of spins back into its normal form and then sheds its skin as a train.
Yeah, I could see that. The metal as it faster and faster as it gets, the metal sheds off until it reveals scales. And, you know, the wheel, and it starts going, and then you see the head of the train turn into the head of the snake. I love that a lot.
It could be like a cage, so it was like containing it in a way. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Kind of like a muzzle that it...
I like it. Okay, yeah. So we have the idea of, like, maybe all the gods can have some sort of boon to give you.
Reminds me of Samuel Jackson. You could change plane to train.
No! I'm sick of these snakes.
On this goddamn train.
Perfect.
Oh my gosh, that could be a foreshadow. You have like a tabaxi or some sort named, you know, something. Or a Yanti that's like named Samuel Jackson or some kind of Samuel Jackson pun. And he goes, why are all these snakes on these goddamn trains?
But yeah, you could have like the other gods also have their own boons. Because I like the idea of like all the gods being like, something's not right here. But we're like happy with our lives. But like something's wrong. Like kind of the effect of like what D&D calls charmed. Where you're like, I'm fine. But am I fine? But I am fine. So you can have, for example, with Freya, you can have different things, or even the Valkyries will be like, oh yeah, it's like, we protect here, but it's just not, it's just, I feel like there's a bigger fight we're supposed to be, like, doing something about, but everything worse we get is, like, one or two people every now and again get at each other's throats, but it's fine. You can even list off, like Sam had said earlier, like redone events of Ragnarok, like a dog bite. Like the worst we get is that such and such's dog randomly bites him real hard and we gotta make sure he's all right. But last time, I swear, they nearly killed each other. And you're like, that means nothing. But when you start to think about it, you're like, oh, if your players are big Ragnarok nerds, they might be like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, like the big thing with Tyr is Fenrir, the wolf, bit off his arm. So you can have the blacksmith who only has, like, one arm and a prosthetic, and he just, like, hates dogs because of that, and there's not really a other description why that your players are given.
I like it.
Damn dog causes me to get dysentery. Not dysentery, I can't remember. The gout? Gangrene was the word I wanted.
Dysentery.
Lost my damn arm to that dog bite.
Terry, that's a girl's name. Bang! Your dad a dysentery.
All right, well, that has been my stint on this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. After that pun, I am out.
Is the best. It's the best. It was the best of times. It was the worst.
You could have, is it Vidar? Is that his name? V-I-D-A-R?
I don't know that one.
I don't know how to say.
One of Odin's sons, it says, burning with rage will charge the beast to avenge his father. You could just have him as like an angry tavern, a saloon patron, and he just gets angry over things, and he's like, I gotta go avenge my father, and runs out of the bar.
Ain't nobody talking bad about Pa!
Yeah, Pa. Yes.
I watch a lot of Old West and Back to the Future 3, so, yeah.
In, like, that area, kind of using your father's name as your last name was, like, very popular, so we could even have Owen being Odin, and everyone who like lives in town is Owen's son.
Owen's son. No,
Owen's son. Yep.
And then Loki and his bandits have all kind of given away their regular surnames, and they go by Loki's son or whatever name you come up with for Loki.
Loki has multiple names.
The McKees.
That's not bad.
Owen Field and the McKees, or Hatfield and McCoys.
You could just be Logan.
That works.
Owen Sons versus Logan Sons.
I'd watch it. But yeah, so we have that. We're trying to prevent Ragnarok. How we get there is unknown, but based off of different campaigns, we have options such as you just wake up on the train, you get called to do a job in town, or you're called to kind of like reel in the town. You can even be taxpayers and be like, this town is apparently on the map and no one's been paying me taxes.
Your party works for the IRS.
That's not a bad campaign idea, honestly. You're going to make a lot of enemies so fast.
Oh, that could be a like fun whole side campaign where it's like you work for the IRS and have to go keep collecting from cryptids.
That would be super fun.
I would love it. That's a great one for City of Mist, though. That would be really good because then you get to do a bunch of characters. What do you mean? I have to pay a money. I'm a plumber. I don't get that much.
Sir, we know you collected 500 gold coins on your last job, sir.
Mamma mia.
Gosh, that would be funny. Have you been living in this castle tax-free?
We are not married. But yeah, that would be, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Listen, Davy, can I call you Davy? This locker's in prime real estate and your taxes have gone up. We haven't received a single payment.
We know you collect, but we collect too.
Yeah, Davey, you really gotta clean out this locker. You haven't been paying anything on it.
Oh, you can have it be a storage locker too. Like freaking...
Yep.
Storage wars. Oh, it'd be so good. Yeah.
All right, quick. Back to Ragnarok Ridge. Quick.
Hey guys, you got like two or three different side campaigns for free. Have fun.
Should we take the next step in our activities tonight and move into the recap and synopsis?
Yeah.
I think so. I think we're about ready for that.
Hunker down, folks, because we got a lot to talk about. Ye to the haw. Well, y'all players have been doing mighty fine. You hook up on this new magical train heading to the west, where you have been given a job from the governor, the good governor. And he has asked you to map out some areas to lay down new tracks. The area he has proposed turns out to be a town that is not on the map, Wild. It is called Ragnarok Ridge. It is full of your ordinary townsfolk, all with the same last name, that happens to be attacked by bandits with a different last name. That's very funny. All the same, nothing suspicious is going on here. The governor sends you a letter asking you to see if it's possible to clear out the town. You soon realize there is actually some funny business going on here. This town is full of gods that have lost their memory and are trying to live now a normal Western life. You find some clues along the way. It's possible to give them back their memory. Once you do that, though, the end of the world starts, and the train you came on is actually a world-eating snake that is coated in magic, steel, and a muzzle. If you undo all of those things, y'all done goofed, and prepare for some wacky adventures chasing down the snake to kill it, if you can. You could also set this in real time if you do Call of Cthulhu, where you are mysteriously teleported into this land of Ragnarok Ridge, starring Gene Wilder, Mel Brooks, and Cleveland Little. And is my recap good enough for you guys? Did it give you enough time, David, to sow the seeds and give us a sweet, sweet synopsis?
Yeah, I think so.
Put on your cowboy hat, get your spur boots on, kick that horse into gear, because we're ready for the ride.
The door to the town hall slams behind you.
Ow.
You've been denied what you come for. Taxes on this here town that haven't been collected in who knows how many years. You look around at that bustling street you came in on, and it's empty. Men on horseback are slowly making their way into the town dressed all in black leather. To one side, you see Kyle's hitched up to the saddle of a man who wears a large canine skull on his shoulder. Howls ring in the background as a pack blocks the street behind him. On the opposite side, three riders casually ride along toward town hall. In front is a man with hair redder than the sun. Behind him, a tall woman wearing a mask over half her face, a grinning skull with ice slowly creeping out from under the edges, despite the blistering sun. In the rear, another man sits in a sling-like saddle between two horses, the stomp of their eight hooves kicking up dirt and blurring out everything past. The fire-headed man climbs down from his steed as they reach town hall, and he tells you, "You may want to take cover. Things are about to get crazy." He pulls a large hand cannon from his holster. Inscribed on its gleaming barrel, you see a bolt of lightning. As he pulls the hammer back, the sky darkens, and you hear the rumble of thunder as clouds roll in. What do you do?
Run away from the man who has a weapon that causes thunder to happen.
The name's T. T. Owenson. This, I think, is the favorite, my favorite of all we've done. I think this has moved into number one for me of all time.
It would be a lot of fun to run. Yeah.
This was a lot of fun. This would be a lot of fun to run.
Thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps. Our little opening ditty was Today by Limby off the album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at limby.bandcamp.com or on an actual play podcast called Bombarded. The finale has aired, but it will always be in our hearts. You can also find us over at Twitter. I'm Malcolm, or, you know, the main person behind @FitGDND.
Well, shucks, y'all can find me at DMMom05. My name is Sam, and I am here to entertain y'all. Yee to the haw! That's right, I committed. Halfway through, I wanted to stop, and I couldn't.
That's amazing. I have been David. Thank you for listening.
You can follow the show at @FitGDND. Or on our Discord server, which you can find at FitGDND on Twitter. tinyurl.com/FitGDND also works. There's a lot of spaces to find at FitGDND. We're also always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our list, so feel free. We guarantee that we probably won't do voices all the time, so don't worry about that.
Ah, what a dunce!
This show was edited by our audio gremlin, Kat Brown. You can follow her on Twitter at xnubinator912x. If you're asking how to spell any of that, she says, please don't. It's a whole hassle. We are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can hear more of us at obtusestudios.com. Don't forget to give us 5 stars, because we love stars here in the West.
Oh, yeah, we do. 5 stars, iTunes.
On Apple iTunes or on Spotify.
Don't forget the Spotify.
And buy our merch on Redbubble. Please and thank you. Hope you all have a pleasant time. Time to ride off into the sunset, boys. Yeehaw!
Y'all been mighty kind listening to us.
Colorful living is not quite like me. Plainly, I find there is too much to see. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.